Father, we give you the praise and the honor because we have come with open hearts. Let your words, your ancient words, impart on our lives today that which must be imparted. Father, let not one person leave here the same way they have come. Blessed be your name, in Jesus' precious name. Go ahead and give the Lord the praise. Give the Lord a bigger shout of hallelujah. Are you excited to be in the month of August? You know, this is the day the Lord has made and you shall rejoice in it. Give him a bigger shout of praise. Help me shake the hands of two people around you and welcome them to the presence of the Lord. And you might be seated. I welcome everyone here this moment in the precious name of Jesus Christ. I believe that God has brought us here for good, and I believe that not one of us will live here the same way we have come. In Jesus' precious name. It is the blessing Sunday for the month of August, and we shall look at the subject briefly, the way of the blessing. The way of the blessing. Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 13 and 14. Galatians 3. 13 and 14 said, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. The first thing I want us to know is that God's will is the blessing of his people. God has no other plan but to have a people that are blessed. And what does it mean to be blessed? I just mentioned two things here. It means to live an enviable life, enviable by the people of the world. Not a life that is pitiable, a life that is enviable, admirable. Like the kind of life Abraham lived, like the kind of life Isaac lived, an enviable life, an admirable life. In Isaiah chapter 61 verse 9, he said, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. Everyone seeing them, they're admiring them. They are envying them. What does it take to live such a life? That is the first thing that it means to be blessed. Secondly, to be blessed means to live a life with the visible touch of God. A life that carries the evidence of the visible touch of God. A life lived with the visible touch of God. You see, people look at you and they confirm that God is with this man. God is with this woman. A life touched by God. A life with the hand of God visible, obvious. You don't need to advertise to anybody that God is with you. They can see it. He said, all that see them will acknowledge them, that these are the seed which the Lord has blessed. God has done something for this man. God has done something for this woman. God is with this person. Means to be blessed. Now, if you look at these two definitions, you would understand that not all the children of God are experiencing the blessing of God in reality. Not everybody is living the enviable life, the admirable life, the kind of life that someone will say, can I please follow you to know your God? Not everybody. Not everybody is living a life where the hand of God is visible, where people can see and say, God is with this person. The question is, what is the pathway? What do I do to step into this visible realm? There are seven things I'm going to mention in this service and in all the services, and I'll take one per service, and the seventh one will be a general point for all of them. Number one is the lifestyle of righteousness and uprightness. There is blessing in righteousness and uprightness. And I'll look at that in detail in this service. Number two is access to light or insight in the Word of God. Access to light or insight. The Word of God is pregnant with the blessings of God. When Peter got to know
who Jesus was, he said, blessed art thou. Access to light, access to insight. There is something God will show you, you will see in his word that just shifts your life. It just shifts your life. Number three is obedience to God and his word. Obedience to God and his word. The meaning of this is, your blessing is tied to an instruction. God instructed Abraham. Abraham stepped out on that instruction and his life changed. And in this regard, the question to ask is, Lord, is there something you are saying to me I'm not hearing? Is there something you want me to do I'm not doing? Is there something you want me to do? Your blessing is tied to an instruction. Number four is the lifestyle of prayer and intimacy with God. The lifestyle of prayer and intimacy with God. Normally, the presence of God carries the blessing of God. The lifestyle of prayer and intimacy with God attracts the blessing of God. And I'll give the details of that in the fourth service. Jacob was changed into Israel at the place of prayer. The lifestyle of prayer and intimacy with God. Number five is faith and trust in God. Faith and trust in God. Faith is a blessing connector. The Bible said in Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 9, it says, so then, they which be of faith are blessed. They which be of faith are blessed. They which be of faith are blessed. With faithful Abraham, they which be of faith are blessed. How does this happen? We'll look at that in the fifth service briefly. And then finally, is the lifestyle of gratitude and praise. There are so many complaining and murmuring too much. And God never blesses murmurers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 10, he said, neither murmur ye like they murmured in the wilderness, and we are destroyed of the destroyer. God is a blesser of the grateful. God is a blesser of the appreciative. Is a blesser of the praiseful. Jesus had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and yet he lifted them up and gave thanks, and then it exploded. Your blessing, sir, is tied to appreciation. And finally, number 7 is the lifestyle of giving. The lifestyle of giving. Paul the Apostle speaking to the brethren, he said in the book of Acts chapter 20 verse 35, Acts 20 and in verse 35, he said, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So there is blessing in giving. You can be excited to receive, but the higher blessing is the blessing of the giver. Now, let me take point number 1 and then say 1 or 2 things on point number 7. Number 1 is the lifestyle of righteousness and uprightness. Now, in Psalm 5 and in verse 12, the Bible said, For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor will you compass him about as with a shield. You will bless the righteous. Psalm 24 and in verse 3 to 5. Psalm 24 and in verse 3 to 5. He said, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He said, he that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Okay, back up again. Let's start from verse 3. Lord, who shall ascend into the holy hill of God? Or who shall stand in thy holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. That man, he said, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. And the righteousness from the God of Israel. The person who has not lifted up his soul to vanity, whose hands are clean, whose heart is pure, he says, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. Then in verse 6, he said, this is the generation of them that seek him. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. The generation of them that seek him are the generation of the blessed. The generation of them that seek God are the generation that can't escape the blessing. The person with the hands that are clean and with the hand that is pure is the person that can't escape the blessing. Is God speaking to anybody here today? I was speaking with a judge some years ago, and he came to me. He had a challenge. There was a criminal case he was sitting and presiding over. A murder case, and the person killed someone. I went to preach in the state, and he met me, I think, in the hotel or so. And someone killed somebody, and he was the judge superintending or overseeing the case. And the person is guilty as charged, and he was going to sentence him according to the law. But the relations of the people came to try to manipulate him, maybe bribe him, or so he could change the judgment, and he wasn't ready to do that. And when he refused to do that, they went diabolical. Very diabolical. To such a point where he said, when he comes to sit on the case, he starts vibrating. His hands. So he came to me, he said, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. He said, I want you to pray for me for this reason. He says, I have been a judge for up to 30 years. I think that's at that time. He said, if I had ever collected 1 naira as bribe from anybody, let their charm work. He said, but if I have not, then just pray for me. They have already failed. When I heard that, I was touched. What? All your life on the bench in the judiciary. He said, if I have ever. You see, and God heard that. And when God heard that, the devil took his affliction. He said, this is the generation that seek thee. The man with the pure heart and clean hands, he doesn't need to beg to be blessed. The blessing must beg for him. I speak to somebody here today. I see your blessing begging for you. You believe that? Say it louder. Amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. I'd like you to understand that crookedness is the killer of the blessing. Crookedness. Thou, Lord, will bless the righteous, not the crooked. Crookedness is a killer of the blessing. Ungodliness is a hindrance to the blessing. Double deals. Dubious deals. Shortcuts. Cutbacks. They prevent the authentic blessing of God. You know, Job had a testimony in Job chapter 1 from verse 1 to verse 3. The Bible said there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. See his testimony. Upright, perfect, righteous. There were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Now verse 3, you see his blessing. His substance was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, and very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. Crookedness is an enemy of blessedness. It's the enemy of being blessed of God. Now you look at the testimony of Abraham in Genesis chapter 14 verse 22. Genesis 14 and in verse 22. Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the most high God, the possessor of heaven and earth. He said that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe lashet. and that I will not take anything that is yours, in case you say, I have made Abraham rich. Abraham is saying, what is yours cannot cross and enter my hand. What I didn't get by right or by labor or by favor can never be in my possession. Did you hear that? I didn't get it by right. I didn't get it by labor. I didn't get it by favor. It's not permitted to be in my hand. That's what Abraham is saying. I won't take what is yours. I am serving such a big God that will give me what is mine. Huh? I told you some time ago that Adam took only one fruit in the Garden of Eden and lost the whole garden. God gave him the whole garden as his possession. And he went and took a fruit he was not licensed to take, and he lost the garden. Do you know the meaning of that? 1 million bribe can cost you 1 billion that God was trying to send your way. I mean, something that is not yours to take, one cutback, one fraud, can prevent what God has in mind for your life and your destiny. There are many destinies aborted at the frequency of fraudulence. Adam's destiny and the destiny of almost the whole of the human race was aborted because he touched what was not licensed to touch. If not for the mercy of God that sent Jesus to us, you will not abort your destiny in the name of Jesus. And so we look at that, and that is the uprightness. Please do clean business. Don't mix petrol with kerosene and mix everything. Don't be involved in rebagging and all those kind of things that shortchange people. Don't mix flour with something else to increase the volume. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I mean, in our country, we are used to some of these things have become so normal that it doesn't look like there's anything wrong with it. But everything is wrong with it. Everything is wrong with it. God does not change. I am the God, I change not. The times may change. What is evil might now become right in the eyes of people, but I haven't changed. God will help us not to lose our destinies. And so that was point number one. Like I said, I'm going to speak on all the points in the services, but let's take one point from point number seven, and that is the matter of the giving and giving lifestyle, the lifestyle of giving. The Bible said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, the giver cannot escape the blessing. And there are six channels of giving that I'm going to mention. Number one is the tithe. The tithe, according to Genesis chapter 14, verse 18 to 20, Abraham paid the tithe to Melchizedek, and Melchizedek released the blessing. The tithe is the junction of the blessing exchange. Malachi chapter 3 and in verse 10. He said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it, and pour you out the blessing. Of all the givings that anybody can give, the most compulsory is called the tithe. The most impactful is the tithe. The most life-changing is the tithe. The tithe is the one that opens the windows of heaven, and then when the heavens get open, your seeds on the ground can begin to produce. There are people who do all manner of different givings, but they don't tithe. It's like sowing seed in the earth where there is no rain. The tithe opens the heaven so that your seeds that you are planting can germinate and produce harvest. Is the most compulsory. And anybody who does not understand the tithe hasn't started yet. This ministry tithes from the first day till now. This pastor is a tithing pastor. I started tithing 29 years ago in the high institution. I didn't think I was going to be a pastor. I wasn't planning to be a pastor, but I heard the word and I started. And there is no need in our family or house that has ever made us negotiate the tithe. I'm paying tithe this morning. I mean, of July. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So it is very, very critical that this be done, because there are many people who are making God look like he's not fair. They pay today, eat tomorrow. Pay today, eat tomorrow. And God doesn't work like that. Oh, his obedience is either total or not at all. Partial obedience is non-obedience. So that is the tithe. The second one is kingdom sacrifice, or sacrifice for kingdom assignment. As the case may be, a building is going on, construction is going on, or television ministry, evangelism, you are just sacrificing for kingdom assignment, is a connection of the blessing. I'll say that in the second service. Number three is blessing the less privileged, the poor, giving to the poor, to the less privileged, those that are stranded, grounded, orphans, widows, they are channels of the blessing. The fourth is priestly giving. Putting something in the hands of your priest or your prophet as the Lord leads you. It's a channel of the blessing. And I can tell you, there is no priest or prophet in his right senses that will make demands on people. And I mean, anybody who is, who any pastor or priest who has become a liability, that is, he puts himself as a burden on your neck, that kind of giving produces no result. Am I communicating? It is something, is what is done out of volition, out of your, somebody, a pastor asked somebody, God said you should give something. And when he said, I'm going to give so and so, he said, God said it is not enough. Right? And I actually told the person what to give, and the person gave that amount out of force and pressure, and everything dried. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver, not a forceful giver. Say, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, let him give, not grudgingly, of necessity, under pressure. For God loveth a cheerful giver. So anyone putting you under pressure to give him is an indication that that giving will be a waste. Is it getting clear? But out of your own volition, the Lord leads you to give. And that is done from your heart and willingly, you never lose the blessing. The priestly giving, and the fourth is the parental giving. The fifth, rather, is the parental giving. Parents are blessing custodians. And in case your father is not alive, or mother or something, there are parental figures around you. God is a parent. You can channel parental giving also to a priestly cover, as it may be. But God leads you. But there is blessing in parental giving. And finally, number six, call it generational blessing. Just being a blessing to your generation. Your family, your wife, your children. Everybody coming in contact with you, their lives getting changed because they come in contact with you. Being a blessing to your generation, it blesses your life. But the Bible said, he said to Abraham, I will bless you and you shall be a blessing. In other words, if you are willing to be a blessing, then get ready to be blessed. I believe it's a new day for somebody. Stand up on your feet, please. I have too much to say and more talk than time. And so we have to see how to do that. But I believe that today, that blessing that God has promised in his word is coming upon your life. Lift up your hands and give him the praise. Give him the praise. Honor him and adore him for his word. We bless you, Lord. You are holy. And forever you are God. We bless you, oh Lord. We bless you, Lord. You are holy. Shout hallelujah. Everybody shout hallelujah, hallelujah, forever you have been. Lift your hands high and say, Father, I thank you for your goodness and your mercies for my life. Thank you for your word to me today. I receive help and mercy. I receive grace from you in the name of Jesus to experience the reality of the blessing. Lift up your voice and speak to God. I receive grace. In the name of Jesus. Psalm 20, verse 1 to the end. I'd like you to read it with me, response, or rather, as I read it, just whisper or scream the loudest amen that you can muster. My God, hear you in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary. May he strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings. May he accept your burnt sacrifice, Selah. May he grant you according to your own heart. May he fulfill your counsel and desires. And we will rejoice in his salvation. Say amen. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots. They trust in their powers, in their magic, in their occult. They trust in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, despite their chariots and their horses. But we are risen and we are stand upright. Shout the loudest amen. Shout the loudest amen. Lift up your hands and say, Father, fulfill this passage in my life. Fulfill this scripture in my life. Despite their chariots, despite their horses, they are brought down and they are falling. Father, fulfill this scripture in my life. Fulfill it.